Joining us right now is Trita Parsi. He's the co-founder of the National Iranian American Council. He also blogs at TritaParsi.com. Trita, thank you for joining us today on the Randy Rhodes Show.
Thank you for having me.
Well, you have a piece today up at the Financial Times website that says we must not ignore human rights in Iran. And you make the case that it's more important to focus in on the human rights situation than on the nuclear capabilities of Iran at this point.
Well, I'm not necessarily saying that these are either-or issues, but we have been almost obsessed with the nuclear issue for quite some time, and I think it has come at the expense of looking at other issues that happen to be quite important, such as the fact that we may be witnessing something quite historic taking place in Iran right now. And I think it's important to bring attention to the human rights violations that are taking place in Iran. And one way of doing so would be to call for a special session at the UN in which this would be discussed, which would put a lot of pressure on the Iranian government to cease its human rights violations.
Now, if you listen to our elected officials here, they're talking about one of two things. Sanctions is the word we most often hear. But wouldn't sanctions really hurt the people more than the government?
Depending on which type of sanctions are pursued, they certainly would, in some cases, and actually in most cases, hurt the Iranian population far more than they would hurt the Iranian government. Most of the sanctions that we have imposed on Iran so far have actually been far more costly to the population than they've been to the government. And it's mainly because those sanctions have been broad-based sanctions, indiscriminate sanctions that hurt the entire economy. And the Iranian population are not equipped to protect themselves from those sanctions, but the government, on the other hand, actually is quite well-equipped to protect themselves. And as a result, the population has been suffering from this.
So what kind of sanctions could we put in place against the government that wouldn't hurt the people? See, the people, it's a very Western, young population in Iran who have always been very supportive of us. It's their, it's their fundamentalist government that have been the problem, and the people who are taking to the streets are not standing with this government.
Clearly, the people are very, very upset with the government. We've seen that over the last couple of months how they come out and protested. But as we discussed, yes, there's a population that actually tends to have positive views of the United States, and unfortunately, because we have sanctioned them instead of the government, that has created some tensions, and particularly now when they are standing up for their rights, we should not stand on their backs by imposing sanctions that hurt them.
Now in the months, the days and months after, or days, weeks and months after the election, when the people were taking to the streets, I mean, we all, the image of Netta dying on the street is ingrained in our minds. That is a symbol that I think a whole generation will live with. Many people were very upset that we didn't step in and do anything. Could we have, or should we have?
There's little we could have done. I mean, in fact, there's much more damage we can do than good. It's one of those things we have to remember. Our history of involvement in Iran has not been a positive one. The United States overthrew a democratically elected prime minister in Iran in 1953 and put into power the Shah, who turned out to be a very brutal dictator. Mm-hmm. So we don't have a very good history when it comes to this. And as a result, we're better off speaking very loudly about human rights, toning down any military threats, not imposing sanctions that hurt the population, but sanctions that actually target the government, and having some patience. That would enable to help the Green Movement by giving them space and time, which is the most important thing we can do for them right now.
And what are we hearing from our government? I mean, are they making the right noises now, or are they... They standing in the
I
way.
I think there's been moments in which the Obama administration could have been more outspoken when it comes to the human rights situation. And I think they're starting to change that now. There are more frequent statements on human rights than there has been before, including even a statement that came out a couple of days before the protest today, in which the U.S. government essentially forewarned the Iranian government not to violate human rights. Those things are positive. They can be done more often, more frequently. And it's important to keep that as a constant part of our vocabulary when it comes to Iran. So it's not just something that we say every once in a while. Every time we talk about Iran, we tend to talk about nuclear weapons and about terrorism. We should be talking about human rights every time that we talk about Iran.
Well, most definitely. And reports coming out today about people being executed, people in the opposition. Mousavi's wife, there was a report that she was beaten terribly on the streets earlier today. And, you know, again, we can't do anything about that. But on the human rights issue, what can we do?
Well, one of the things that we can do is that we can support an effort at the UN led by others, other countries in the international community, to call for a special session.
Okay.
And hopefully the result of that will be that there will be a special envoy at the UN put into place on the human rights situation, which would have to go to Iran. The Iranian government would have to let that person in to start investigating, just as much as there has been an investigation into the violations that took place in Gaza by Israel after the Gaza war in 2000 last year. A similar type of investigation can be done about the human rights violations taking place in Iran.
Okay, and I agree about the human rights issue and the fact that the population in Iran is very young, they're very Western, they've been very supportive of us in the U.S., and so, you know, our hearts are with them. But then on the other hand, we've got this government with Ahmadinejad and with Khomeini, and you can't ignore the fact that Ahmadinejad is just today bragging about their nuclear program. And I understand there's a lot of attention paid to that and not enough on the human rights. But at this point, we do have to deal with the nuclear capabilities of Iran. And I know the Middle East.
We should certainly not ignore the nuclear issue. No one would argue that. But it's about finding a balance in which we don't only see Iran through the nuclear prism and we miss everything else that is taking place. We are witnessing in front of our eyes something that is of historical proportions in Iran right now. And it would be a shame if we could not take that into account simply because we're solely focused on the nuclear issue. But mm-hmm. No one would argue that we should put it aside or that we should neglect it. In fact, we're constantly talking about it and we're constantly considering various options on how to deal with it. And actions are already been taking place for quite some time. It's about finding a balance here.
Right. Dr. Trita Parsi is with us. So you've obviously, this is your area of expertise. You're watching what's happening in Iran, and you've watched over many, many years, and you keep saying something historic is happening right now. What is happening with the opposition? What is happening with Mousavi and the Green Revolution? Do you think that we could be on the verge of another overthrow?
It's going to be a very long fight. It's very clear, particularly after seeing what happened today, in which the government seemed to have managed to, with a month and a half of preparation, make it much more difficult for the opposition to come out in big numbers,
mm-hmm.
Creating logistical problems for them, not necessarily breaking their will, but making it difficult for them to come out. But the opposition has not given up, and that was very, very clear today. And this is going to be a fight that's going to continue. We have to remember that in the past, in Iran itself, in the 1979 revolution, for instance, that took more than 2.5 years before it reached its climax, and something similar may happen this time around. I'm not saying that we are in a pre-revolutionary situation or that 1979 is a blueprint for what will happen now, but I do believe that we have to, on the one hand, recognize that this can be historic, and on the other hand, keep our expectations moderate so that we don't constantly expect something major to happen the day after.
Right. And I mentioned that the young, generally young population there has always been very supportive of the U.S. Do they still feel that way? I know it was that way, around 9/11. I know it's been that way. But over, I don't know how much damage George W. Bush did and things like Sarah Palin the other day coming out and saying if Barack Obama wants to get reelected, he should wage war against Iran. Do those kind of things
well, clearly, what the Bush presidency did was tremendously unhelpful. I mean, all that talk about going to war with Iran certainly did not help create any sympathy for the United States in Iran. And I don't think they're currently paying that much attention to Sarah Palin. They're so busy with what's going on internally. But you can imagine what that would do, that someone would suggest that purely for political electoral reasons over here, we would go and bomb their country. Those kind of things are tremendously harmful when it comes to our soft power in Iran, which is the positive sentiments of populations over there towards the United States.
And how about their relationship with Israel? I mean, it's very, very tense. And from what I'm hearing in the Middle East, even, you know, Al-Qaeda and all the tension there, everybody seems to agree that the most volatile country in that area is Iran. Do you agree with that?
No, Iran is not in that sense volatile, particularly compared to some of the states in the region that are on the verge of collapsing. But you have a very dynamic situation in Iran in which a very large range of various options actually can materialize. And it's a very uncertain political situation. But we're not close to a situation in which we can talk about the disintegration of the state or even civil war. Although, unfortunately, if this situation continues and there's no reconciliation, there is no compromise, things can turn violent. And that would be very, very negative for everyone.
Very much so. Dr. Trita Parsi, again, he's got a piece up today at the Financial Times. I've got a link to it from my blog at RadioOrNot.com. I'm sure producer Sean has put it up at RandyRhodes.com, or it will be on in the homework tonight. And Trita's website is Trita, T-R-I-T-A, Parsi, P-A-R-S-I.com. Trita Parsi, thank you so much for joining us today on the Randy Rhodes Show.
Thank you so much for having me.